Praise his name. Let's stand together if you'd like. Are you happy to be out tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Every day is a wonderful day.
Yes,
come to church. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we truly appreciate this opportunity. Father, most of all, that desire you placed in our hearts, Lord, that makes us glad when we hear it's time to come to the house of the Lord. We thank you so much. Pray, Father, Lord, as each and every one's made the effort and gathered in, that, Lord, that you would just special, Lord, just look in our hearts and do something special for every single one that's here, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, God, you promised you would be here. You'd never leave us or forsake us. And where two or three are gathered, you would be with us. So, Lord, we just anxiously look to see what you're going to do for us tonight.
Yes.
Bless us now, Lord. Every phase of the service, may you get the glory and honor and praise in your precious holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Page, in our Only Believe books, on page 140, I can start there. Redeemed. Are you glad you can say you're redeemed?
Amen.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am.
Amen.
Oh, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continue.
Amen. Do you know that? Hallelujah.
Redeemed, oh redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love,
amen, Lord, hallelujah,
amen. Redeemed, oh redeemed, oh redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me psalms in the night. Redeemed, oh redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, his child and forever.
Amen. Sing it again.
Oh, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am.
Amen.
Redeemed. Oh, what a wonderful story. Amen. Praise his name. Page 130. Just over a few pages there. This is like heaven to me. Hallelujah. Do you find them people that just wonder, how can you be so happy in a world full of stress? Amen. If they only knew. We find many people who can't understand
why we are so happy and free. Oh, we've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven, amen. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven. Oh, sing that chorus again. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, I've crossed over Jordan. Amen. And this is like heaven to me. Oh, when I get happy, I sing and I shout. The devil don't believe it, I see. Oh, but I'm filled with the Spirit, there isn't a doubt. And that's what's the matter with me. Amen. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. And this is like heaven to me.
Amen. Oh, thanks. Every day. Hallelujah. Page one. Let's sing that in our capstone back books there. Hallelujah. Singing in the promised land. I like this last song.
Walking in the land of story, holding to my Savior's hand. Living in the realms of glory over in the promised land. I want to sit right down at my Savior's feet, hold to my scars. Amen. Sing and shout for a million years, singing in the promised land. And it's oh, hallelujah, singing in the promised land. And it's oh, hallelujah, holding to my Savior's hand. Oh, living in the holy city, walking on streets of gold, living in a brand new mansion half has never been told. I want to drink pure water from the river of life, where the flowers never die. Voices raised to praise King Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's oh, hallelujah, singing in the promised land. And it's oh, hallelujah, hope to the Savior's hand. Oh, climbing up on Zion's mountain, hear the bells of heaven ring, ringing out the glory of Jesus, for he is King of Kings. I want to meet my friends gone on before up there on the golden strand. All join in a heavenly chorus, singing in the promised land. And it's oh, hallelujah, singing in the promised land. And it's oh, hallelujah, holding to the Savior's hand. And it's oh, hallelujah, singing in the promised land. And it's oh, hallelujah, holding to Savior's hand. Amen. Can you say hallelujah? Amen. What you're looking forward to, saints. Amen. Oh, he's wonderful. Praise his name. Page 96. Amen. What a happy time that's sure to be. Hallelujah. Oh, what a happy time that's sure to be. Jesus coming after me. I hear him calling me away from this old world forever to stay. And when he takes me by the hand in that blessed promised land, what a happy time for glory. What a happy day. Oh, what a happy day. Oh, that will be when we gather there. What a happy day. Oh, when we climb those golden stairs, we'll be with time is gonna be one happy day. And when I walk into heaven fair, see my blessed Savior there. He'll place a crown on my head, give me a robe of white to wear. I'll walk on streets pure as gold, live forever. Oh, what a day. Shout and sing through the endless ages. Hallelujah. Oh, what a happy day. Oh, that will be when we gather there. What a happy day. Oh, when we climb those golden stairs. We'll be with those who've gone before. James and John, Brother Branham and more. What a happy time that surely be. Amen. Sing it. Oh, what a happy day. Oh, that will be when we gather then. What a happy day. Oh, when we climb those golden stairs. We'll be with those who've gone before. James and John, Brother Branham and more. What a happy time that sure to be. Oh, what a happy day. Oh, what a happy day that's going to be, saints. Oh, you ought to be happy thinking about it. Oh, it ain't long either, saints. I can't see it being much longer. Oh, be ready. Trim your lamps. Make sure they're burning clean and bright. Amen. Oh, he's wonderful. Praise his name. Brother Amos, can you come up for an offering?
Hallelujah.
Precious name. That's the blessing, if you will.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, truly we are so grateful for this opportunity. You granted to us once more the health and strength you've given us. Lord, a desire in our hearts to draw closer to you this day. Lord, just to seek your will. Pray you'll have your way and render the service. All said and done, be for your glory. As your word comes forth, Lord, may our hearts and minds be open to receive the portion you have for us. Lord, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. Lord, ask will be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask it in your precious holy name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Oh, I want to see him. Do you? Look upon his face. Hallelujah.
Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And oh, I want to see him.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah.
There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Hallelujah. Amen. He's wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen. How many have something on your heart that you'd like to take before him? Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we bow our heads. Brother Tim, would you like to take the prayer?
Precious Lord, we are so grateful to be here again. Lord, you have the joy in our hearts. Lord, thank you for what you've done for us and cared for us. As we come to this portion, Lord, you saw each hand that was raised in lying in need. Lord, we know you are the great provider. Lord,
yes,
we know you know what we had need of before our hand was over.
Yes, you do.
And Lord, we ask that you would meet it according to your will, Lord, that it would bring glory and honor. Praise, Lord. Father, we just ask for those that are not here this evening that you bless them. Whatever the need may be, Lord, strengthen them. Give them health, Lord, whatever it is. And Lord, just tonight as we sit here under the word, Lord, may it just some way strengthen us and stir our hearts. We pray, Lord, that we would climb higher and closer to you. And we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things.
Amen. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I think it says a little note, the young sisters have a song. Amen. Thank you.
mountains ahead that I can't move by myself. But I know when I'm weak, He's strong. When I can barely breathe, there's still a song. Even though it's hard right now, I'm not here on my own. So when it seems it can't be done, I know God is big enough. I can run the race I'm called to run, 'cause I know God is big enough to finish everything He starts. He'll meet us right here where we are. I can feel faith rising up, 'cause I know God is big enough. And the days and the shadows of doubt make me feel small. I declare that I don't stand in my strength at all. 'Cause I don't live a day You didn't plan. Every single moment is in Your hands. Even if the whole world shakes, You're the rock on which I stand. So when it seems it can't be done, I know God is big enough. I can run the race I'm called to run, 'cause I know God is big enough. He'll finish everything He starts. He'll meet us right here where we are. I can feel faith rising up, 'cause I know God is big enough. Fear that surrounds me, bigger than the chains that have bound me, bigger than the story my past can tell. Bigger than the weight of tomorrow, bigger than the hurt and the sorrow, bigger than the lies I've told myself. So when it seems it can't be done, I know God is big enough. I can run the race I'm called to run, 'cause I know God is big enough. He'll finish everything He starts. He'll meet us right here where we are. I can feel faith rising up. I know God is big enough. I know God is big enough.
Let's all stand together if you'd like. We ask our brother to come. Sing Only Believe. Hallelujah.
Only believe. Only believe.
Sometimes when we gather around Your precious word, and Lord, how inadequate we feel to, Lord, to bring sometimes the way things You lay on our hearts, Lord, into a manner that we would feel would be becoming of Your precious word, Lord. And Lord, but tonight we just humbly come, Lord, and though it's simple scriptures and quotes, things we've heard many times, Lord, we just ask that somehow, Lord, that the reason of reasoning it, Lord, it will help us in some way, Lord, maybe cause us to grow a little closer to You. And Lord, to draw strength from Your precious word. For Lord, You are the great I Am, Lord, and You know all things. You know tonight what would be spoken, Lord, before there was ever a moon or a star. And Lord, we know that we rest in your hands, Lord, and we humbly ask for our portion tonight of your precious word. And Lord, we just ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. He's so precious.
Oh, yes, he is.
Oh, while you're still standing, we'll just turn over to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, just to read a verse, then you can be seated. Amen. Just a small exhortation, but praying it'll help us some way. Things we've brought before, and actually I had kind of brought something along this line not too long ago, and kind of when the Lord kind of dealt with my heart to reread these things, I thought, boy, I just did that myself, and I don't normally get to do too much repeating, but you know, whatever the Lord wants, you know, we just follow it, but it's God's precious word, and may we be able to find something Amen. That'll strengthen us. But in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May the Lord bless reading his word, and you may be seated. But oh my, how God is ever mindful of us, and how we're just so thankful for as we see the age in which we live. And you know, it just seems like you can... We were just talking with a gentleman at work today, and we was talking about news and how we don't watch news and things. Just a lot of us, we don't keep up with it. And that's what he was saying too, you know, and how easy it is to see. When we look at the news and we see all this taking place around us, there's fires over here and earthquakes over there and just all kinds of turmoil in the land. And our seasons are just changed all to pieces and things are different. And world rumors of wars and all these things taking place, but we know we're getting that much closer yes. to the appearing of the Lord. Knowing that he's left us all the instructions that we need to make that journey and to be ready for that day when it comes. But I'd like to think about that a little bit, and I kind of touched on this a while back, but just following instructions and how God is a God of preciseness when it comes to instructions. He don't leave us wondering what we need to do or where we should be. And every time he gives us instructions, if we follow it to the letter, it always brings out and works right out to his glory and to his honor. And it'll bring forth exactly the way he wanted it to be. But if you would, let's turn back to Genesis, the 6th chapter, I believe it is. Just to see a couple of these examples one more time. Like I said, that's why these things are recorded for us to read. Put it here to remind us. But Genesis in the 6th chapter. And start here at the 8th verse. And first off, just the very first thing. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And as our pastor's been going back through, we were in the thoughts of God. God just don't give instructions to anybody. He only is pointing those true instructions out to that predestinated seed. Amen. And how Noah here, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it goes on to say, these are the generations of Noah, and Noah was a just man and a perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begot 3 sons. Let's drop down to the 12th verse. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, and room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion with which thou shalt make it. And then the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50, and the height of it to be 30 cubits. And a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark thou shalt set in the side thereof with a lower and a second and third story shalt thou make it. And God handed those instructions down to Noah. And we can go back and we've all heard the things Brother Branham had to say about that time. How it had never rained. And how God instructed Noah to go build this ark because he told him he was going to destroy the earth. And you know, Noah being a man that had never built an ark, but moving with fear at God's commandment and going forth to build this boat. But how God instructed him to put a window in there and make sure it was through 2 and 3 stories. But Noah didn't question why God. He went and just followed the instructions of the Lord. And oftentimes, That's where we make our mistakes. We begin to question, why do I have to do it this way, Lord? Why does it have to happen like this over here? But God's not he's not interested in our questions, and he's not interested in what we feel about it. But he's given us a clear-cut instructions to his precious word. And sometimes those instructions are so far beyond the way the human mind thinks about certain things. It's so far beyond how, as we're raised up and taught, how we would think about something. God's instructions may take us a totally different direction. Maybe even totally go against my grain of what I feel in myself and maybe what my pride or would be. But we must always follow what God is playing out for us. And as we see this time approaching and we see this precious word unfolding, many times the word comes and it comes cutting. It may come with joy, with great relief as we, Sunday as we sit here and we hear that precious word and we measure ourselves up by the word, not by ourselves. How we can truly see that word is sharp and it's powerful. And how it may show us where I truly haven't had the love that I should have had in my heart shining forth. Maybe I haven't been the long-suffering. Maybe I haven't had the brotherly kindness. And that's, as we begin to look into God's word, we see all of these things that add up, that shows us where we must stand and how we must conduct ourselves. And we see the instructions that's been given to us to prepare ourselves, that we would be ready when that great day comes to catch us away. But you can go over to Joshua. We'll just read it, Joshua, the 6th chapter. But just look at how the preciseness of God's instructions. They always come. Yes. Joshua 6, and let's just read here. It started at the first verse just to catch. Now Jericho was straitly shut up, and because of the children of Israel, and none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of the ram's horns. And 7 days ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all of the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, and the priests going on and blowing with trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about at once. And they came into camp, and they lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose up early in the morning. And the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And the 7 priests, bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priests going on, blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. And so did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that all rose up early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. And only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, and you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But of all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are concentrated unto the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man, woman, young, old, ox, sheep, ass, with the edge of the sword. And I want you to think about that. God's decisions were precise. They marched around that city, and them walls fell. The mighty walls of Jericho come down without a human hand ever laying hand on them. And after God had gave him those expressions of his instructions, and after this great wall fell flat, as you go on to read over there, you'll find where Achan just had to take a little bit of that gold. After all God had done and give him the directions of what would happen, and it happened exactly the way God said it would, but one man decided he didn't think he needed to follow the instructions that far, all the way. He went so far. He was there when the walls fell down flat, but then he just couldn't keep on with it. And that's where we must make sure. We may come so far, but it's the full word, the full instructions. We've got to see the results of all of it in our hearts and in our lives. And it doesn't matter, but we must follow it to the letter, exactly the way God has laid it out before us, for the God to have the result in our life that he said would be produced through this Bible. We can't take part of it. And you know, God is a just God. He places it out there, and he expects it to be lived by. Amen. Let's go over here to 2 Kings. Just renewing our hearts to some things. May not be a great, exciting, jumping message, but just listen to God's word as we read it. Think about it. These things happened. Oftentimes, as our brother mentioned, it becomes a story. Oh, that's a Bible story. It's a Bible story. But God was trying to show us he meant exactly what he said. And every time it was followed the way he said to do it, it happened exactly the way he said it would. In 2 Kings in the 5th chapter. Amen. Now Naaman, captain, first verse. Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man in valor, and he was a leper. So I want you to look at the stage. Here's a man mighty in valor. So people looking up to him, he was a captain of the host. A man with great importance. And the Syrians had gone out by the companies and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, I would God my Lord were with the prophets that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that this is the land of Israel. And the king of Israel said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought a letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send to me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And so when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and that he said to the king, saying, wherewith hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come in now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. He didn't say once. He didn't say twice. He said to wash 7 times and to wash in Jordan. And this mighty man standing there, how he come, and God, seeing the great God of Israel, the things that had been done, and I'm sure he could see the acts that God had done down through Israel in times past, to know that there was a God in Israel. And it said, and Elisha said, but Naaman was rough, but he said, wash 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. But oh my, God is a God of simplicity. And God is a God of his word. He had a purpose in telling Naaman to go wash 7 times. And he also knew Naaman was a little bit of a prideful man. He knew he was kind of had that valor in him. He was so nice. And as he went on here to say, he says, strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And he said, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage because the word didn't come the way he wanted it to. It didn't suit his fancy. Why do I get in that muddy water when I could get in this nice clean water over here? But God doesn't care about our flesh. He don't care about some of the things we may have to go through that changes us. God has a purpose in letting everything that happens in our path happen. Nothing happens by chance. We may climb many a mountains, walk many a valleys, but God knows all that it takes to bring us and to build that character in us that's needed and to make his word come out 100%. He specializes in things thought impossible. He specializes in circumstances that look beyond man's compare and belief of what man could do. But God is also, he places his word out there and he expects it to be followed. And he said, and he went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to come to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? And oftentimes that's where it comes to trying to receive the new birth. Sometimes we don't want to really repent. Sometimes we don't want to go get baptized. Sometimes those kind of things, oh, do I have to do that? Why do I have to do it that way? Why do I have to do it this way? God didn't ask us. He just said, this is how it is. That was one word. He said, repent and be baptized. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he placed that prescription down there and he didn't give us any ways to question it. And it's the same way with all of God's word. He speaks it just the way he meant. And he don't need any of us to try to change it. He don't need any man to come along today and try to change anything that he's delivered to us through that precious prophet. He said it just the way he wanted it said, and the instructions are laying there all the way through. But man, oftentimes we get in our minds something we've heard in the past, something we believe, something we want to hold on to, and it keeps us from letting the true instructions of God manifest through our life. I don't think I need to go that far. I don't think I have to be in that much submission to my husband. I don't think I have to love my wife that great. I don't think I have to raise my children quite like that. I don't think I've got to be that diligent over my home. I don't think that's necessary. This is not necessary. You don't need to worry about that. We let things that other people have told us steal away what God has laid out there for us. Just like the loving one another. Oh, we don't have to love our enemies. You don't have to do good to them that despitefully use you. As our brother was using that as an example, and it's fresh in our minds. Just think about that. In times past, we've been expressed, it's okay to lie. God didn't say it was okay to lie. We've been told those things, but that is wrong and it's not right. That is not the instructions God left us. But that's just a small example of the instructions that are left. But many times, because we're human, when we need to make an excuse for ourselves, we decide that it's okay here and it's okay there. And then we're disappointed when things don't work out the way that we felt it should have. But it's a lot of times it's because we didn't come God's provided way. And we didn't follow the instructions that he gave us 100% to make it work out exactly right. But God knows all about us. Sometimes he knows if we've got a little bit of pride in our life. We might have to go a little different direction. You know, to show forth that, oh, he is God. And he knows exactly how to break us down. You know, and a door is in a door. Just real quick, something Brother Branham said here. When he was talking about that, he said, this is on page 25. February the 6th, 1965, paragraph 166. He said, on the right side of the human heart, when you walk in the door, there's a little door on the right side that's calling in there the door of pride. Oh my, don't you go into entering that door. They don't want the Lord in there on that door. That's pride. I'm a blue blood. I take care. Oh yes, now look, I tell you, see, it's pride. Don't you meddle in there. He can't feel welcome as long as you keep that pride door shut. He's got to humiliate you. See, that's what he comes in for. You mean to tell me I have to go down there and act like the rest? You don't have to. That's one thing sure. But I'll tell you, I do when I went to the business council the next time? What would I do if I met my employer tomorrow and I'd have to get that spirit on me and I'd jump up there in the middle of my work and go to speaking in tongues? Oh, that would humiliate me. No, stay out of there. But yeah, see, you'll let Jesus come in and you'll join the church and you'll put your name on and accept Jesus as your Savior. But what about being your Lord when he's got full sway? When he's the Lord, he's got it all. It belongs to him. See, you are completely surrendered to him now. And that's what he's looking for. Someone that's completely surrendered, that will give up all of their ideas, their thoughts about anything, and truly follow his direction and instruction. And God takes special care in his own. He knows exactly when to hand that instruction down and to make sure that we're getting it and taking it well into consideration and listening to what he's got to say. You know, it was many times we come in and the instructions come, but sometimes we're either not paying attention or we just turn a blind ear. That's for someone else. When many times, if we would truly take God at his word and let the word wash us clean, how what a work it could do in our hearts and in our lives. You know, we're living in a time where everybody goes to church. We all sit here and come in here tonight to worship the Lord with the instructions, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So we gather in here to worship and to praise the Lord and to hear his precious word. And God's instructions were here for that. And we all come in that door, but God knows if we truly came with that right emotion, motive, and objective in our heart, or if we just came because it was a church night, and my husband was going, my wife was going, and I'm just here because my parents come. God knows all about us. And he knows if we truly have that desire burning down inside of us to be exactly what he wants us to be. Or am I just here to try to keep a form and a fashion? You know, it's got to where, as Brother Branham explained it many times with Cain and Abel, Cain was very religious. The devil was very religious. And oh my, how we look around this land today and we see everybody's religious. But that's not, Brother Branham here, and I will restore, saith the Lord, preached on August 29th, 1954, as he was talking about that, he said, this is the bottom of paragraph 22, he said, let's watch those spirits, both of those boys, strangely thinking. Both were religious. Both of them were religious. Cain was a long ways from being a communist or an infidel. He was a believer. Mm-hmm. And this may shock you, so get your vest ready. He was a believer, not a false believer, a true believer in Jehovah God. And if God only requires a man who will make a confession and a believer, God would be unjust to save this boy and to condemn that boy. Is that true? If faith in God is all that God requires, if this boy had faith in him and this had faith in him, God would be unjust to condemn one and accept the other, certainly. You say, I belong to church, Brother Branham. I believe God. That don't have one thing to do with it, whether you're going home to glory or not. Brother Branham, I openly confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Am I saved? No, sir. If you'll listen close and don't get up and walk out now, just wait till the end. You'll find out why our dear brother Billy Graham and them are not getting the job done right, because they're not taking people far enough. They're just getting them to stand up and say, I accept Jesus as my Savior, and that settles it. And a great revival here not long ago at the Eastern States, that's far enough, but that settles it. And we can come in here and think, just because I've come to church, that's enough. I've come and I dressed right. I'm a lady and I'm dressing modestly. I'm a brother and I'm coming like a true Christian brother should and gathering in church and I'm trying to raise my family right. But let one thing slide someplace else. It's the full instruction of God's word it's going to take to bring this rapture that's going to make us, these bodies, take that final change. Not laying down one instruction, laying aside this over here, saying I don't need that. But as we look at we can look at other churches or we can look at ourselves right with the word, just measuring ourselves up with that precious word, and we can truly see, am I following the instructions of God or am I making an excuse someplace for something in my life? And we can answer that for ourselves. We don't need to, you know, oftentimes it's kind of how a lot of people are. Well, I'm better than they are. I'm farther up the ladder than they are. I'm doing more than they are. I know what they're doing. I'm not doing that, so I'm better. No, God requires the full entire word to be on display. And it doesn't matter, one word short and we're going to miss the mark. And we must make sure that we're taking into consideration all the instructions God has given us in this last day. Amen. Let's turn over here to Mark, 19th chapter. So many people are confused in this last day. We've had a prophet. And the prophet came and God sent him. But a lot of people, that's where they stopped, is they believed that Brother Branham was a prophet. They believed that he was a good man and he brought a good message and all we should follow. But they failed to see that God was delivering instructions to a people. The full instructions of what we should be in this last age. It's Matthew 19. Amen. But Jesus speaking to the rich young ruler here, Matthew 19, 16 verse. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said unto me, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto them, All these things I've kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And how I think of us in our putting ourselves in this situation. Every time we come through that door, that's the desire that's burning on our hearts. I've kept all these instructions that I have so far. I'm not forsaking the assembling of myself together, Lord. I'm obeying this and I'm obeying that, but what more is there, Lord? There's something still drawing me. There's something still pulling me. That's why this young man come and asked. There was still something. He had done all these things. He had been raised right, Brother Branham said. He had godly parents. He had been taught right from wrong, and he knew, but yet there was still something down in his heart that was drawing him. Something was still pulling on him, that there was a higher height for him. And he said, the young man said unto him, All these things have I done and kept from my youth, what like I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And how often do we come in the door and with that burning in our heart and God's word comes? Do we sit there like a sponge and drink it in and say, Lord, let it change me? Or does the word come and we have to go away just a little bit sorrowful because the instructions would have to make me pay a little greater price? I might have to give up just a little bit more of myself. I might have to change who I've been all my life. I might find out that I need more. Do I go like this young man and turn away and go away sorrowful? Because when we come in that door, the same God that was standing there speaking to that young man, speaking to us, he's looking down in my heart, he's looking down in your heart, and he knows what we have need of. And he knows as that word's coming forth, it's drawing in us. And if there's something down on the inside of us that's when we came in there that was drawing, God's here to meet that draw. Amen. But be sure that we don't shut him off or push him off to the side that I didn't need that, Lord. I don't want that far. But no, as we open to him and say, Lord, let it take a hold in my life and change me. Exactly the way it needs to be. We've been sitting around this message for a long time. We have heard message after message, the same message over. We've read the same scriptures. We've read the same quotes. We hear all of this time and time and time again. That's the way God set it up to be. But each time we come in, we should find a new nugget in every scripture. Every quote, there should be some new meaning to it, new life in it for us. It should bring change in our lives. It should bring results out for showing that the instructions that we're following. When Noah was pounding on that ark, the first board went in, you saw it. The next one, you seen it. This first floor level went on. Then the second floor went in. The third floor, you could see the instructions being followed. And it was producing results. And it was shining forth that everyone could see that boat was being built, setting out there. And set there in judgment of those people, knowing that there was God had spoken, said that it was going to happen. And Noah kept right on. And we sit here today and it may seem like nobody else feels like they need to be as firm with the word. Nobody else feels like you need to follow the word that strict. Nobody else seems like you need to hear it like that and drive it home. But you know, as Noah, as that ark was finished and those animals were marching in and he could see maybe the clouds rolling in the distance, don't you think there was a little bit more urgency in him just to drive it a little bit harder, to scream a little louder, to come on, don't you understand it's going to rain? And that's what the instructions of God is doing in this day. And some just keep, the churches just go on and they keep on in a form and in a fashion of religion, but there's no life being expressed through a lot of it. But God's got a special people all over this earth, predestinated here and there, that he's not just got a people that's attending services, not people that's just hearing a message, but a people that's got a life that's coming forth, blossoming forth in reality. And how we can see, we can look back down our path and see where we've come from. And we can see the backbiting that we've saw years in the churches. And this one couldn't get along with that one. And this one didn't like the way that one combed their hair. And this one didn't like this over here. And we saw all of that take place. But God has called to a special people. Come out from among all of that. Because there's a higher height for you. And how when we hear this precious word, that love that should be burning in our hearts, how a closeness we should have amongst ourselves as we gather. And that little bride begins to unite together in the faith. What a love and a joy there should be one to another. Amen. And how we shouldn't see those things ever named among us of backbiting, fussing, all of these things. God's instructions doesn't cut it out. But we see so many that haven't ever got over that portion of it. It's still existent. You can see it. And you see attitudes and all these things running rampant. Yes. And maybe we've come above that, but what about the next step? What's that draw? Why is that draw still in my heart? Lord, there's got to be something more. Yes. Am I reaching for that higher height in Him? Looking into that instruction manual saying, Lord, what's next? Where's the next board go? Lord, where's the next screw or nail need to be placed? Yes. That'll change me, Lord, and make me more like You. But do we have that drawing in our heart? This young man was drawn, but oh, when he heard what that next step was, he just couldn't do it. Amen. It was too much of a price. He just couldn't take it. Amen. But oh, may we make sure that we're crying out to God, Lord, make me humble. Keep me in humility. Yes, don't expect God to do something in one certain way. God works however He sees fit. He's sovereign. Yes, He is. You know, I think of how He knelt down when the man was blind in the scripture and how He knelt down. He could have just spoke the word. He could have just said, eyes come open. But He knelt, spit in the mud and made mud and put it on the gentleman's eyes and said, now go wash it and you'll have your sight. God does things in mysterious ways that may look totally unreal to us. But God has a purpose in things happening the way He does. He may give you a dream, a special instruction, some way that'll pass down through to you because He cares about a certain thing that He really loves us. He uses different ones. You know, His brother Branham used the example of the little lady that was standing there praying when that little baby was in the prayer line. Mm-hmm. And God laid it on her heart to go pray for that little baby. And she did, and that baby was healed. Mm-hmm. And God can use each and every one of us in that manner when He sees fit if we'll get in the right channel. Mm-hmm. We may have a sister or a brother over here that really has a need or just needs to be prayed for, just needs someone to be upholding them, and God can move on your heart to be that person. If we'll just get in tune with Him. We've heard all of these things, but is it living? Is it manifesting? Is the instructions that's been placed out there? When you stand praying, forgive that you may receive, that your Heavenly Father forgive you. Do all of these instructions, is it gel into our heart and stand there? Do we think about these things? Or do we get hard and it's just crusty and we don't really care? There's not that true feeling for my brother, for my sister. There's not that compassion that's there for each one. They don't know what I'm going through. Well, God went through a lot for us. He bore many of things and still was thinking more of the things of others than the things of Himself. Here in the message leadership, Brother Branham speaking on page 7, October 30th, 65, and he was speaking about that young man. He said, just religion won't work. See this one young ruler here, he said, good master, now remember before I say it. He had been taught to walk right. He had a good education. He had been taught business and was rich and was a ruler and had religion, but he was confronted with another problem, and it confronts all of us, eternal life. Religion don't give us eternal life. Religious is a covering, but it don't give us eternal life. But him taught with the best teachers there was, he was yet lacking something, and the young man knew it because he said, good master, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And you believe Jesus is God, don't you? He knew the thoughts of the young man. He said, keep the commandments. And he went right back to his religion, see? What he could say about his religion. He said, now in other words, keep your religion. He said, I have did this since a boy. Little boys like you. My mom and papa, my priest taught me religion. But I know in my religion that I still don't have eternal life. And you can be good. Don't steal. Don't smoke. Don't lie. Don't lie to papa, mama. Don't tell the first lie because one will tell the other. And it's easy to tell another. See, but you mustn't do that. Don't lie to the first one. And this young man, he hadn't lied. He had never stole. He was conscious that he needed ever eternal life. So he said, what can I do to have it? And Jesus is showing here now that religion won't do it. He said, he sent him right back to him and said, keep the commandments. And he said, master, I've did this since I was a little boy or little one, just a little bitty fella. I've did this. But he knew he didn't have eternal life. And he said, then if you would enter into life eternal, want to be perfect, then go sell. Now, it's all right to have money. See, it's all right to have money and be rich and be a ruler. But that's the way you act after you become that, see? He said, go sell what you got and give it to the poor and then people that hasn't got anything. And then come, follow me, and you will have treasures in heaven. But the young man had so much money till he didn't know what to do with it. See, he was very popular. And he was well equipped for life, the way his father and mother and the priest all of them had equipped him. But still he knew he was lacking something. And I'm talking to the adults. He knew he was lacking something. He didn't have eternal life. He knew it. Religion won't produce eternal life. Forms and sensations you feel, you could get seared and feel something. See, crying, that's good. Shouting, that's good. But that still ain't it, see. You're confronted. And you say, well, I've been a staunch Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, or Pentecostal. That still isn't the question. This young man was too. He was taught in the religion of the day. And I think how taught we are in a religion. But it's not more than that, but it's what about the author that wrote the books that we study? What about the author that laid this Bible here and how much of him is being expressed back through us? But he was confronted with it and he refused to be guided to eternal life or to be led. His other leaders had such a hold on him till he didn't want to turn it loose. And sometimes we're so trained to think like human beings. When God's word comes, we always try to no, I don't think it's quite like that. I can see it, what he was saying, but I believe it's like this. When God is knocking on our heart's door, not to believe it like some man says it is, or even our pastor is bringing the truth. We're not here just to believe it like our pastor's saying it, because our pastor believes that. But we're here, the Holy Spirit's knocking on our door, trying to reveal to us that we would know without a shadow of a doubt that that's what God said, and that we believe it because it's what God wants us to follow. Amen. Not following the creed of a church, that my church believes it like this. I dress this way because of my church, and I do this because that's the way the church believes it. But what did God say about it? Amen. And how much of it is anchored down in our hearts and truly lining up and matching what God wants in this hour? We've seen so much of put on, so much people going to church and claiming to be Christians, but they don't want this portion of the word. They still want to talk and act like the world over here, or they still want to dress like them over here, or they still want to keep a music form that's like the world, or they don't want to get down, but they want to look more in pattern after what they see in today's modern world. But Jesus Christ never patterned himself after the world. He was humble and he followed his, knowing that he had been sent for a purpose, he followed forth with that, making sure he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. And oh my, how it ought to be burning on our hearts as we see that day approaching. We've been hearing that the Lord's coming for a long time. We've believed that for a long time. But saints, it's going to happen, and I believe we're getting mighty close. You can't help but see all that's taking place around us and see all the things, and it can't be long. It might be another 5 years, 10 years, who knows, but it won't be long. Its time is just flying by so rapidly. The year goes so quickly. The weeks are gone before you ever get a chance to start it, it seems. Time is moving rapidly. But oh, are we moving rapidly to see that the instructions that we've been giving are changing and molding us and our lives, or do we just feel that it's just a good word? It's a good thing. It's a feel good. I come in and oh, I felt good. I was at church and I heard what the pastor said. But oh, what if I read into those instructions that I must be born again and I know that I'm not? Is there something down on the inside of me that's driving me, crying out, Lord, I've got to have that in my life? Or do I just feel like the young man and go, well, that's awful great price. I'd have to start obeying my husband. I'd start having to correct my children. I'd have to start dressing a little bit better. I'd have to watch where I went. I couldn't do that. What about it? God's word's laying here. What's our attitude and our approach to what he's trying to show us? Oh my, we could say we've been in this message a long time. I've got more love than anybody in the church. God has a reason for bringing those things that we heard. What about it? Did we, each one of us, sit here Sunday as we heard that word and sat here with an open heart crying, Lord, make me more like you. Lord, what a magnificent and a strong love. A love you can't have in yourself as a human being. Something you can't do. But oh my, supernatural love. Oh my, how we should be crying out, Lord, if I don't have it like that, Lord, make it that real in my heart. Oh my, that it would be that real. Amen. Let's turn over here to, let's see here. Amen. I believe it's Jude, the first chapter. Amen. I'm sorry, it's James, the first chapter.
and I think our brother might have read this, I can't remember for sure, Sunday, but 19th verse of James, the first chapter. You sisters can come to the instruments.
Amen.
Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way straightway, and forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen. And oh my, may we truly focus in to being making sure that this word is producing doers in our lives, not just hearers only. We hear it, but it never manifests. I never have any greater love for my wife. I never have any greater love for my husband. I never become any more under submission to my husband. I never become a better father of correcting and watching over my children. I never become a wife that's truly watching over the home and taking and keeping that while the husband's away. All of these words that are left here, all the little foxes, you might say, the little things that maybe we, that's just a little word. We lay it off to the side, but are we truly do keep doing our due diligence to make sure that all the instructions we've been left us, we're not letting any of them slip? Amen. Oh my, how it ought to ring in our hearts. Lord, let me just press that much harder. Let me pull on you, Lord, that much greater. Amen. And reveal to me, Lord, what I'm still lacking, where I'm short. Lord, what do I need to draw closer to you? We all need something different. I need a different word than you are going to need. But God knows exactly what we need. And we come in here with that and we get in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he's here dishing out. This one needs an A vitamin and that one needs a B vitamin and that one needs a C. And we everyone get a portion that we need to continue to grow. If you come with that in your heart, that drawing on him. But don't get hard and crusty and just come because it's a church service. And as we just go to church, we've been going to church all of our lives. Don't get that attitude. But come with that true drawing in your heart. Lord, what do you have for me? There's higher heights for me, Lord. There's higher rungs. There's more overcoming. I'm still here, Lord. There's still higher heights that I can reach. And Lord, here's my life. Take me in your hands. Oh, may that be the desire of each and every heart that we would press and draw. And oh my, that even as our pastor gets up to minister, how he should feel that from us. He should feel that there's a hungry people. We're not here tired and wore out. I'll just sleep through this service. I done heard that word. I'll just sleep through this one. I don't even need to hear that. No, but our attention shows, your body language shows that your intent, you're listening to the word. You're focusing not on a man, but you're listening to the word that's being read and asking the Lord to dip it into your heart. Oh, how great it is to sit here and hear our word. How great never anyone has been hurt like he was. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. I pray we could each find something. Just some word, but you know, it's and maybe a little repetition. But we must make sure we're following the instruction God gives us. And sometimes God calls us aside and gives us special instructions. And each time he takes the opportunity to do that, how we should truly say, Lord, just let me make sure I do my due diligence to correct this or to correct that. Lord, you showed me this over here. You've shown me that over there, Lord. Oh, thank you for taking the time and bringing it to me, Lord, that I could have an opportunity to get it right in line with the instructions God's given us. How great he is, saints. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus as our brother comes. How great is our God.
How great is our God. How great is his word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters of the mighty I will lead you.
How great is our God. How great is His word. He's the greatest one. Hallelujah. That ever was heard. He brought back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And He said, I will lead you. Put your trust in me. How great is His word. Isn't it really great, though? I love it. I'll tell you, every time I get the chance to sit and listen to the Word, read the Word, my, have the Word talk to me. It's just something about it. It's so real, so precious, and so glorious. And many things I thought about as our brother was speaking tonight, those precious scriptures and quotes the prophet said. And actually, while I was sitting there, the Lord laid something on my heart, and a little something that we need. Amen. So sometime we'll bring it. Amen. Like I said, just started going through and just the Holy Spirit laying on my heart. So we'll see where we measure up in it. Amen. Oh my. You know, I'm so thankful that the Lord is so mindful of us. You know, because if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, you know, watching over us and making sure everything was getting done just the way He wanted it done. Look where we would be, you know. And, you know, I've been listening to a little series of Brother Lee Vell was speaking on stewardship. And, you know, it makes you appreciate the job God give you. And it makes you just so appreciative of how God set everything in order. Oh, it's just so precious. And I tell you, there's something about it, saints. There's a higher height in Christ, and we must reach that place. Amen. If we're going into rapture. Now, maybe we don't intend to go into rapture, but I'm intending to make that rapture. Amen. And everything has to be, our brother even mentioned it, everything has to be just exactly the way God set it up. Everything. I mean, it can't be out of order anyway in anything. You know, it's just like the prophet said in the future home. He's talking about the new birth, the evidence of baptism of the Holy Spirit. Being able to receive the word for this day. It truly vindicated itself. Yeah. And what was the last thing he said? The entire word. That's everything in that Bible. Everything. So every step we have to take in life has to be the Word. And, you know, I was thinking about that, the little short messages there Sunday on that love. I've been thinking about that and, you know, how important that is. And it's true exactly as Paul said it. You can understand, have the understanding of all mysteries. Have all knowledge. Prophesy. And have not love. We are absolutely nothing. I'll believe what Paul said. You can accept what your thoughts is and what you want to make out of it. Maybe you heard somebody else make out of it. But Paul said exactly what he meant. And it was exactly what God wanted said.
Amen.
You know? It isn't something different. It isn't some kind of a great thing to try to figure it out. He said it exactly what it was. Think of that. Now, how important that must be. You know, because we all want to understand all mysteries. We want to have the knowledge of God. My, and fantastic on prophecy. All these great things. Give our body to be burned for the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. And still without love, we are absolutely nothing. I hope that still burns in your heart. Because, whether you want to admit it or not, many lack that love. Yeah. It's too much about yourself and not about him or others. Amen. So may we never forget that little message. Because I believe it was from the Lord, not me, because it's his word. And just what I was sitting back there, what he laid on my heart, it's definitely from him, because I wouldn't have thought about it. But it's from him, because I can't do it. So I hope we can accept that little portion too. Amen. We appreciate tonight. So thankful for the message. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for this precious little time we've gathered here. And sometimes, Father, it doesn't seem like it's really enough. Here, Lord, we got out of bed maybe even early this morning, 4 o'clock, whatever it was. And here I went through the day, Lord, of course, meditating and thinking about you, and maybe some prayer, and some listening to the Word, and reading the Word. But then when I look at it, Lord, and see here the whole day went by, and there was 24 hours in this day. And the one that gave me eternal life, the one that's the most precious one of my life. I think about this little short service, Lord. And even what we did do today doesn't seem like it's enough, Lord. Out of this whole 24 hours, it just don't seem like enough to give back to one that gave everything for us. It just doesn't seem fair. Doesn't seem it could be possibly right. But Lord, you knew what our journey would be. You knew we would have families and have jobs and we'd have to live and do these things. But Lord, for some reason to us, it doesn't seem fair to you. But Lord, that's all we have to give you in a day's time. But may we take these times, Lord, and count it so precious and wonderful. May we be so appreciative of it and give you our very much undivided attention, Lord, every moment we're here. So we ask, Lord, that you would just help us now. And sometimes I just get to rambling and talking and thinking about you and meditating. Oftentimes think of many things, Lord, that we could do better. But Lord, help us. Forgive us of our shortcomings. I'm sure every one of us has got some kind of a shortcoming, Lord. Just help us to see it. Show it to us, Lord, to do better for you, to surrender greater to you, and let you have a greater preeminence in our lives. So we thank you now again for all things this day and all things you've done for us, you've done, will do. All these things, Lord, we appreciate it greatly. May we go forth from this building tonight and have a wonderful, sweet communion with you, Lord. A sweet fellowship. The true living God. Oh, we love and appreciate you now. Have your way in our lives and all things. In your glorious, precious name. Again, Lord, we don't want to forget also. Just watch over us. Keep us safe upon the highways. And bring us back again, Lord, the next appointed time, if you should tarry. In your most glorious, precious name, the sweetest name I know, my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus before we leave. If he is the sweetest name you know, just sing it to him. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know.